Good morning. Today is Friday. Man, I got you pinned in the corner, don't I? You really don't.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah. And he's wearing his mask and trying to be on the radio. Don't worry. People will know who you are. You can't hide. Sean Robertson from Humble Bay Fire is, almost alongside. He's in the same general vicinity this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is as close to you as I've been in 6 months, so I think that I'm definitely on the radio, and I'm definitely close to you. It's like our usual radio transmission.
Yeah, quality's kind of a little stronger this morning. Winston, why do we say it?
Sounded like almost like the adults from Penis. Wah, 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 wah.
The teacher.
Yes.
Charlie Brown's teacher.
Right.
Yes.
Bunk. Why do we say a person who ducks responsibility is doing a bunk?
Like debunking something. It must be communication of some sort, obviously. Man, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, the money thought is it's related to a bunk bed, but...
Yeah, that's where I was headed, too.
Yeah. You're in the ballpark there.
Because bunk bed?
Because a soldier anxious to get out of an unpleasant detail will pretend illness and lie abed in his bunk.
Now you got problems, huh? Give you the water, and now you're not going to run it through your sieve. Good. Not that I'm disparaging anybody, but na-na-na-na-na.
Okay.
Oh, boy. You know, I've had a question the last couple of days and haven't acted on it, so now's my chance. Is there any figure or any tracking of your folks, healthcare workers, and the incidence of positive testing versus the general public? Because obviously the rate of exposure you guys are having is a whole lot different. And the folks that you're interacting with, and the healthcare guys certainly a whole lot more, is a lot different than what the general community is doing too. Is the percentage consistent? Are you guys and gals higher? Or
I haven't seen any data, so anything would be anecdotal. And there's certainly pockets where firefighters have been affected, and it's in the bigger departments like LA City and FDNY.
Sure, that would make just numbers.
But if I would, you know, make an informed assessment, the people we go to may be more likely to have COVID.
Yeah, more prone.
But we're wearing the highest level of protection. So we have the most, we have the least exposure in that situation. The real issue for us is if one, which is partly why I'm overly cautious, is if one of us.
And it was inside out, by the way. I want the record to be shared. You didn't have the fire trucks on the outside.
Yeah.
You had them on the inside.
That's because they're for me.
Yeah.
If one of us is even exposed, not even positive, it has a massive ripple effect because the isolation can potentially affect so many people. And
right, it knocks out a station or at least a shift,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and it's had that dramatic effect on some agencies throughout the state and the nation. But haven't seen any specific numbers on if there's a higher prevalence. I would say probably not, based on the protection factor.
Yeah, well, and in addition to that, also then just the immunity, you know, the build up little by little, because isn't that pretty much what a vaccine is? You get a little of it, the body reacts to it, and then
I'm not an epidemiologist, so my understanding is a vaccine.
That's why you get a flu shot, right?
Yes, yeah. But I've had a flu shot once, and I don't think flu shots are as effective as a vaccine for a different disease.
Yeah.
Because it's much more variable, is my layperson's perspective.
You know a lot more about water, right?
But I don't know if I'd say firefighters develop more immunity because we're still exposed to the general public through our families, etc. Whereas at work, we're always in the pod, you know, mentality that a lot of us have become accustomed to. And then we're always much more mindful of minimizing our exposure if we're in a risky situation.
Yeah, it's probably a lot more top of mind for you guys.
Yeah, because for
you, isn't it always?
Yeah, because we are exposed to all the hepatitises and
the various nasties that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't want our firefighters coming to work sick because they're going to not be able to perform and they're going to affect the others that they're with.
So has it been a significant change in the routine other than wearing the mask? I mean, I would think that you guys are kind of responding. You got your gloves on anyway when you're going to a medical and some of those types of things. Is it?
Well, we had to treat everyone like they were positive for COVID because the guidelines we had initially were if the people have these symptoms and they could have it, or if they're positive, then you need to wear all this. Well, the testing was so slow and it even wasn't able to catch up. And then it also provides a window when the person was maybe negative, but they're still contagious.
Right.
So we had a situation where crews have been going to the same person for 10 days. The person didn't have any symptoms and then finally got sicker, went to the hospital, tested positive. So now we have to backtrack, and 10 of our people were exposed. 3 of them met the exposure classification, so they had to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And then they're worried about their families, so we have to provide, accommodations for that. It had that significant effect because, like all of us, the risk or the threat was not known, and the final result just became more and more dire with the projections, and it was definitely a change.
Since you're not a medical expert, I'll ask you another medical question.
Great.
How do they do those quick turnaround tests versus the ones that seem to take 3 or 4 days? Is it just,
I think it's just a rudimentary process.
Yeah.
I think it's just a package of, here's the testing protocol and it can be that quick or not.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Fire stuff now, okay?
Okay.
All right, fine. Now, normally you guys would be having the open house tomorrow and remembering of the fallen firefighters and the Chicago fire and. Wee bit different this year.
Yes.
Are you still going to be able to do some of the memorial elements of it? I mean, the open house part of burning some hot dogs, great. I mean, you can do that any time of the year. But there is that significance of this time of the year for the fire service.
We're not doing anything specific for the memorial thing, but we're definitely continuing the work through our firefighters memorial in the Clark Plaza. And we got some great news a couple weeks ago that the bronze castings are about done. So that's really coming together. And the city's totally behind us using that space and their plans to just make it, develop it a little bit too to just encourage people to come by and spend time there.
There was, $25,000 you guys were shooting for?
Yes.
Is that close? Is it been achieved? Is there still a distance?
I think we have not achieved it. I haven't seen where we're at for a few weeks, but I think we're definitely close.
Is there was some kind of something funny happened, right? Was there? Did, On the finance side of it, did somebody take something or?
I'm not aware of that.
No, okay.
No.
I'm going back to the food, the spaghetti feed that you guys had done, that there was something, and I'd heard that there it had been backfilled. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know anything about
it. Am I just a little dingier today than I was last month?
Must be your shirt. you're checked out a little bit today.
All right, well, never mind. Right, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. As far as I know, everything's
but if
really
you're close
positive.
To the,
yeah.
If you almost hit the numbers,
yeah,
that's cool. But people can still contribute even if it's achieved?
Yes, yes. And then that will go, I think we're donating the extra to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, which benefits families of fallen firefighters.
That's got to be sobering when any loss of death, okay.
Right.
But on duty?
Yeah.
That puts it in a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, it's definitely my greatest fear. And it's, you know, we have a lot of inherent risk in this job. But certainly, you never want to see that.
Well, the fact that you guys have so many shared relationships.
Right.
You know, like with some of these wildfires. You know, you guys go there. They're not really trained for wildland fire. But there are certain things that they can do to help out. Does that increase the risk?
Well, we are very much trained for wildland fires, but what we have less of it is the experience of that size.
Okay, I used the wrong word then.
Yeah, and yeah. In the last few years, just the ferocity and speed of the fires is something very different. And so like anything else, the more experience you have, the more ability you have to make better decisions. But because our people who generally go out do it voluntarily. We ask for people to staff our wildland engine and they head out for a week at a time. Generally, the same people will go out, so they develop that experience. Or they've had that experience in the past working for CAL FIRE, the Forest Service. So generally, their level of training and skill is pretty high. I'll say for myself, I worked for CAL FIRE for 2 months. It's pretty exciting. And that was in Fortuna, so I
was that like February, March?
No, that was like May and June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we only went on two fires. One was on the beach. So I didn't get a whole lot of experience. But fast forward to 2017, so almost 20 years later, I'm on a fire as a strike team leader trainee down in Monterey. And just the craziest fire conditions. And I was there for 3 weeks, and I was definitely outside of my comfort zone a few times, just not having that experience, you know, being trapped in a very steep, narrow gully with fire on all sides of me and flaming logs rolling across the very narrow track we were climbing in our fire SUV. I was like, I don't know if this is the best thing to do. So. Yeah. Yeah, that was my experience, but we're definitely participating a lot more locally. This is the first year since I think 2015, when we had the fire in Redwood National Park, Humboldt Redwood Park. My mistake.
The Salmon Creek.
Yeah, and you know we don't often have fires here that threaten residences or homes like we're having still right now.
Yeah, I was seeing the Southern Humboldt stuff around Ruth Lake and things of that nature. I would suspect that it's, as you alluded to, I mean, you don't see too many rolling logs on fire in downtown Eureka.
No.
that experience is a big deal, but how do you train for that difference, or can you?
Well, you train on the basics. You learn a lot more about weather and how that affects things. And you just reinforce having that daily risk assessment. And with a lot of firefighter fatalities on wildfires, there's common factors, and we really talk a lot about that.
It's 8:30.
Hi, Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. All the fun stuff during the breaks are now over.
Yes.
We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson, Humble Bay Fire Chief. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humble Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Redeck. It's interesting, Sean. I'm sure you don't have an unlimited training budget.
No, we do not. Not this year.
Good confirmation.
So, yeah.
Yes. So when you're training,
right,
and you know that there's a really high likelihood that you're going to be called out, or the troops are going to be called out, or you're going to be looking for some volunteers to deal in different jurisdictions, different terrains, different. How do you allocate your training? Do you put it all on what you know is going to be the case, the local jurisdiction? You know, maybe water rescue. More than, let's say, some of these unique situations that you've been called to?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just try to broaden everybody's experience base and everybody's knowledge base so that they may not be specialists in favor of being more of a jack of all situations?
Well, we have to prepare to be a jack of all situations. That's just the nature of our job. And, you know, that's the benefit of having a career department is our level of training and experience is much higher. And so people expect us to show up and know how to do everything really well. And so that's what we try to do. As far as how we prioritize training, there's certain things that are mandated. And then we have a training schedule that, like you're saying, addresses the things that we need to be even more skilled at. Those are much more regular. And then the things that are more infrequent, we do them maybe every 2 years. That's also why we have specialty teams. So we have select personnel that have a much higher level of training. So it would be water rescue or hazmat or our paramedics, you know. So we have that depth with spread across the whole organization, and those people will be leaders in those specific incidents, and then the rest of us are trained to support that. But certain things like general firefighting, including wildland firefighting, we have to be proficient at it. And so when we do our training, we follow a standardized curriculum that is put out by the National Wildlife Coordinating Group that works with BLM, the Forest Service, and CAL FIRE, and provides just a training curriculum every year. And they do a really good job of hitting the basics, but then adding very topical things in. So a lot of case study work, a lot of addressing of, you know, changes that people are seeing on incidents, so that we at least have that benefit of that their experiences. And then we work with CAL FIRE locally a lot, and so they do a good job of sharing training with us. So they often come and give us training them specifically. So it's just a constant thing, and it's a really, really important part of our job. So yeah, we had to cut some of our training budget this year, but a lot of times we'll just reallocate because it's always a priority.
Different species, trees, do they react differently to
yes.
fire?
Yes.
How do you train that? I mean, if you're in an oak, I'm thinking of southern humble, different tree set, you know, once you get outside the redwood zone versus a fire inside the redwood area. Does it move quicker? Does it just have different wind patterns?
The factors that are more important is, like you said, wind and weather. And then what type of fuels is it? So, you know, what's more concerning is lighter fuels, because the fire will consume that and move faster through that. And once it gets into the bigger trees, depending on the stage of the fire and the weather, that would generally be a more advanced situation. And that's where you see the more extreme fires, where you see the massive headers. But, you know, that's been the big change in the last few years, is the fires just accelerate like they've never done before. And
is that weather conditions, or is that fuel load, or yes?
It's all three. And it's really driven, I think, by the drought and then the increased temperatures. And that, you know, we're seeing those things earlier than before. A lot of parts of the state, you know, still don't get the moisture they need to get or have gotten in the past. So, you know, it's that. And then I don't know if I'd say there's more people living in what was called the wild and urban interface. I don't know if that's true. I think it appears that way. But certainly these fires are just moving into areas I've never moved before. And the classic example of that is what happened in Santa Rosa and Redding. I mean, you know, those neighborhoods have been there for a very long time, and they just devastated them.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, with all the unique situations that are going on now,
right?
Are you paying attention to the mental state of the troops?
Yes.
Because I would think, you know, if everybody else is kind of wound a little tight, you guys are seeing it from the fires, you're seeing it from the reaction to the virus, and then just normal firefighter guys, you know, kind of always paying attention to what's going on around them. How do you, if the string's a little tighter than what normally is, how do you kind of reduce that tension? How do you, so that they don't go over the top, and that they're able to kind of think and process in a healthy way?
What I try to do with that is communicate and really emphasize including input, addressing concerns, and and just try to spend time with them. The other thing is I don't know, just that is important.
Keep checking in.
Yeah, I mean, that's a daily practice, and, you know, not just on a crew level, but with the union leadership, and because, you know, we've implemented so many things to deal with just the pandemic, and then with the wildland fire, we were dealing with an exceptional situation down in Southern Humboldt, and then, you know, through that, they're just showing people you care, and a lot of things come up, like all of us have had family situations, so several of our people have had family situations or weird health issues come up, and, you know, so...
But that's kind of your normal management style, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the dealing with the mental side or the emotional side is, you know, a constant thing, too, because we're always in a situation that's stressful.
Were you, like, pop into the different stations and just... Hey guys.
Yes, I try to do that every day.
Yeah.
And it's just me checking. Maybe I haven't seen them in a week or something, see how their families are doing. I feel fortunate that we're a small enough organization.
Yeah, good thing you don't have too many fire stations to pop into.
Well, huh? Also, I kind of know everybody's family, and, you know, I know.
Yeah, the stories.
Yeah, and just seeing how all their children are doing and what there's people try to get out and have vacations with the limits that we've had, and you know, a lot of things like that. And we would do monthly, just like get together at the classroom, which is a central location, and have a meal together. We've watched you know, Backdraft as a training.
Oh, that's
training.
A good motivational one, huh?
Yeah, that was a fun training topic once.
Was it when somebody if you have a bad day, somebody dies?
Exactly. I mean,
the line, right, from the movie?
Yeah, but we can't really do that anymore.
Oh, really?
Well, we just, again, minimizing exposure. So though we're, you know, in our stations, we try to minimize the periods where we all get together, because we would do that regularly.
Inside the station, do you have certain changes in the protocols also, or are those guys and gals kind of just, they are a unit? And
yeah,
they're a unit.
They're units. It's just the awareness, like you and I having right now, physical distancing and, you know, cleaning surfaces and taking care of your gear and making sure you are doing the effective decon and things like that. It's just those general practices, and it's just being a bit more mindful of those all the time. And for a while we didn't, our outside stations are close to the public, so again, minimizing exposure.
Is there much, do people pop into the fire stations?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then
like bringing food and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Or they just have a question, or they want a tour or things like that. It's more prevalent at our main station, Station 1. And for a while, we didn't have families visiting inside the station for the same reason. And then we relaxed those things. And another thing we've done, we've had two recent retirements, but, you know, we had Kevin Furhees and Kingston Blevins.
Okay.
Yep. And we had cake. That's our tradition, is to have cake and a farewell. So we've made sure we kept on those things.
Yeah, there's still the routines and the traditions you don't want to lose.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Well, enjoy a non-open house tomorrow.
Yeah, a plug for our YouTube channel. Even though we're not able to do our open house,
You can still see your smiley face?
We're doing all kinds of of great little clips of all our different stations and our specialties and all of our people.
Good. We'll keep that up.
Yeah.
Even after tomorrow.
Yes. It's a really fun thing.
Okay.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Sean. See everybody on Monday.